The man of sin is what we'll talk about in this 13th presentation of the Choose This Day Bible Study Series. The Bible identifies a quote-unquote man of sin. But who or what is this man of sin? What are his characteristics so we can know where he comes from, who he is, what he does? And what is the outcome of this power as outlined in God's prophetic word? We have learned that the word of God is pure, and it is a shield to those who trust in him. So let's study the Bible and understand what more God says for us in preparation at the end of time. Now, a link for this document is in the description below so that you can follow along and fill in the blanks if you'd be interested. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 describes, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that, quote, man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So the Bible gives us many identifying characteristics of this man of sin that we just read about, or the Antichrist. Horns in the Bible, according to Daniel chapter 7, represent or signify kingdoms. The 10 kingdoms, or horns, are the same as the 10 toes mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, verse 42, which was Nebuchadnezzar's dream, interpreted by Daniel. So Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, describes, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast," there had already been 1, 2, and 3, "but this fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse or different from all the other beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns." Those are the kingdoms that I was referring to. "I considered the horns," or the kingdoms, "and behold, there came up among them another little kingdom," or horn, "before whom there were 3 of the first kingdoms," or horns, "plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." So the verses we just read have described several characteristics of this Antichrist, or little horn power, that we will be able to identify with several of the characteristics. Now, we're going to cover this very quickly, you understand. But take the time to continue to study and learn and pray about what the Bible is saying about the Antichrist power, and God will reveal this to you. Daniel chapter 7, 25 says, "He," the little horn, "he shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." So here, this horn speaks words against the Most High. He's going to think to change times and laws, and he will wear out or persecute God's saints for a certain amount of time. If you can take these characteristics, that it's a little, it's different, it comes up amongst the horns, it destroys 3 horns when it comes up, it speaks great things, it changes God's law, it has a certain amount of time that it experiences power. You take these thoughts, you put them together and realize, wow, God is revealing to us, through history, the fulfillment of who this Antichrist is in the prophecies that were given in the books of Daniel and the Revelation specifically. Now, Revelation 13:5 says, "There was given unto him," this is the Antichrist power, "a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue the same amount of time before, but in different words, 42 months. You see, in Daniel chapter 7:25, we read that it would be from a time and times and the dividing of time. In Revelation 13, we read that it was 42 months. But if you do the homework, you realize those are the same identical amount of times. It's the same time that's referred to, just in different ways. Daniel 7:21 says, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints." That's the persecution we were referring to earlier in Daniel 7:25. and it prevailed against them. So now we can see the similar thoughts in the New Testament of Revelation 13. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wandered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So for many centuries, many Protestant denominations have identified this Antichrist power as the papacy, the man of perdition, the man of sin. Do these characteristics given in the scripture that we just read very quickly agree with this interpretation? Notice we're going to go over them now quickly. Number one, the papal power rose in Western Europe, Rome, Italy. It was one of the 10 horns that was described as coming out of Rome. The papacy has a man at its head that speaks for it. His name is the Pope. So number three, there were three Arian kingdoms at the time of its rise that were plucked out because they did not support the papacy and its teachings. This is a historical fact. Number four, because the papacy was a religious and as well as a civil power, that made it very different from all the other kingdoms around it. Number five, it was affirmed by the Catholic Church's own sources that the Church of Rome has shed more innocent blood than any other institution that has ever existed among mankind. That's W.E.H. Lecky, from History of the Rise and Influence of the Spirit of Rationalism in Europe. It's volume 2, page 40. So the papacy emerged from the Kingdom of Iron, which was the pagan Roman Empire. The mighty Catholic Church was little more than the Roman Empire baptized, according to Alexander Clarence Flick, The Rise of the Medieval Church, pages 148 and 149. The persecution lasted for a time, which is a year, times 2 years, and a half a time, half of a year. One prophetic day equals one literal year, remember, from Ezekiel 4:6 and Numbers 14:34 that we talked about earlier. 3 1/2 years actually equals the 42 months, or the 1260 days. These are three different ways to describe the same exact amount of time. This time period began at the rule of the papacy of 538 and continued its rule through 1798, which is 1260 years exactly, when the Pope was taken captive by Napoleon's general Louis-Alexander Berthier. This was a deadly wound to the papacy that has continued to heal since that event. Number eight, the blasphemies of the papacy include claiming the ability to forgive sins, like Luke 5:21 says. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Another way to commit blasphemies is claiming to be God as a man. John 10:33 says, The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So the ninth characteristic that we can use to help describe who the Antichrist or man of sin is as we read in Daniel 7:25, it will think to change times and laws. The papacy has sought to change the Lord's day, the Sabbath, from Saturday to Sunday. It has also changed the reading of the Ten Commandments by eliminating the second commandment. It divided the 10th commandment into two commandments to make the original number of 10. You couldn't just have 9 commandments. This is easily verified in its own sources and catechism. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 56:1-2. Thus saith the Lord, Keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing evil. So God has said that people will try to change times and laws, but God has blessed those that want to keep his laws the way that he's asked them to, like we talked about last time, keeping the Sabbath holy. God has promised a blessing on those that will do that. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we can be kept by the power of God as we are obedient to His will. Revelation 14:12 talks about a people at the end of time, right during the mark of the beast and the seal of God crisis. Notice what it says. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of Jesus, the Son of God. So here we're to keep the commandments and have the faith of Jesus. It doesn't say the faith in Jesus, but it's the actual faith of Jesus. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory, it is Christ that is fulfilling His law in your life. This is how we keep the commandments of God. And so, the last fundamental principle about the man of sin, I am so thankful to understand better as we continue to study, as we continue to learn, and all the questions that you might have, please feel free to ask at revelationwithdaniel.com. Now, the fundamental principle, the 13th one, reads that as the man of sin, the papacy, has thought to change times and laws, the law of God, according to Daniel 7, and has misled almost all Christendom in regard to the fourth commandment, we find a prophecy of a reform in this respect to be wrought among believers just before the coming of Christ. And then references are given to Isaiah 56, 1 Peter 1, and Revelation 14. Thank you so much for continuing to study with me at revelationwithdaniel.com.